If you look at the front of the brochure, I'm going to talk about listening as a bodhisattva practice. I'm doing this. Some of you may not be familiar with the word bodhisattva. And so just to say a little bit about that, our particular kind of Buddhism, Mahayana Buddhism, actually has an ideal. And that's the ideal of the bodhisattva who helps others besides themselves. They'll say that we get on the edge of awakening and we kind of pause and help others around us, if you will. So we adopt practices that basically help us do that, that help us reach out to others and not just ourselves. So I wanted to talk just a little bit about listening. And by the way, we have some excellent listening coaches. I think of Susan Nelson and David, who've actually given workshops here before. And so there's a lot of expertise here. Also in our priest training, this is part of our training that's actually listen skillfully. And so I wanted to talk about some of the things that lead to the bad listening and on and on. Now, oftentimes in Zen, they say, no planning, no steps, just sit, etc. In my view, always has been you have to start somewhere. So I always kind of start, and if you've listened to some of my talks before, I'll say 10 of these and 5 steps of these. And then once you get those skills and they become part of your daily meditation, then you can drop actually some of the planning aside. So I actually wanted to kind of look at 5 steps that we can follow in actually gaining listening skills. And the first step is to learn to be a really rotten listener. I figure that one way to learn to be a good listener is to learn what interferes with communication. Good place to start. And I wanted to talk a little bit about developing listening skills, how we can use those skills in our daily life. Fourth, I wanted to talk a little bit about listening to ourselves because a very much part of our practice in Zen is to always include ourselves in everything we do. So if we talk about loving kindness, if we talk about compassion, if we talk about listening, we talk about starting with ourselves so that we have it deep inside us. And lastly, I'd like to mention using listening as a daily meditation practice. We often think in Zen, you come in and you sit and you face the wall, and that's what it's all about. What you learn in sitting, you take with you as you stand up and go outside throughout the rest of the day, and that becomes part of your meditation practice. So that's where we're kind of headed with this. So let's start by how can you be a really rotten listener? It's kind of fun to actually be a rotten listener and see how other people react. If you one way is just sit there and look impatient because you're ready to talk, and they're talking and getting in the way, right? I've said this before because when I heard this, it really impressed me. But somebody said, there are 2 parts to a conversation, talking and waiting to talk. I've said that a lot, but it's really absolutely impressed me because I find myself sitting there, come on, shut up, so I can move on. So this is one way, and I belong to a part of a coffee group up at our second Zendo, which is Dunn Brothers, a few blocks up here. And this morning I was listening to, there was a whole bunch of us, and everyone, before you even stopped your sentence, somebody else was ripping along, and people were competing, basically, to see who could talk. A second way to be a rotten listener is what's called the Me Too syndrome. So think of somebody who's never quite gotten along with her parents, and they go to the Boundary Waters, they get in the storm, and a branch falls down, and crushes their canoe, and they have to walk out. And as they walk out, they learn to bond, and they just learn to appreciate each other. And then she comes to you and is telling you this story about how it's really transformed her relationship with her parents. And before she can get really going, you say, yeah, me too. You know, the same thing. I was in Glacier National Park with my sister and her husband, and a cougar went to attack her, my brother-in-law, and I had a moment of hesitation. In other words, that person doesn't have a chance to really, express their feelings, their deep, deep feelings. A third way to be a rotten listener, and it's one that's hard for us to understand, and that is to give advice. Because we're just convinced that people are just waiting for us to give our advice, as if they didn't figure it out. Sometimes you just want to talk. And I remember, maybe I have the title of this book wrong, but I think it was Women Are from Venus, Men Are from Mars, something like that. And, the woman comes home, and she's just venting all the stuff that happened during the day. And the spouse, meaning to be a good spouse, is giving advice. Well, she doesn't want advice. She just wants to be listened to. And so a lot of listening is learning to just listen to. Always in a conversation, you don't give advice unless somebody asks for advice. If they ask for advice, what do you think? I give them advice, but I have to stop myself. Another way to be a rotten listener is judging. And you're listening to this person and saying, geez. And it reminds me of that old saying, I would be just fine if it wasn't for you. that saying, I'd be just fine if it wasn't for you. There's something wrong with you. The old, I'm okay, you're okay, or I'm okay, you're not okay. So judging. And still another way, and just a few more, and there are lots and lots of ways to be a rotten listener. One is defending. When a person's, saying something, well, maybe that you were at fault or whatever, your response is, I did not. But you want to listen to the person, understand their feelings about you. Still another way is interrupting. And we see this all the time. You haven't finished your sentence before they interrupt because they think they know what you're going to say. And I'm sure you've experienced all of these. And then the last one, and one of my favorites, is particularly at tea time afterwards, is looking distracted. You're talking with somebody and the other person's looking around for somebody better to talk to. have we all experienced that? They're looking at their watch, looking bored, etc. So these are just some of the ways that we can be rotten speakers. And we might ask the question, why are most Americans or most Westerners pretty rotten speakers? And there are numbers. What's that? Listeners. Excuse me. Thank you. I need help here. I wasn't listening to what I was saying. First, because we can hear, we think we can listen. We've got ears, and so we hear noise come in, and we think that's listening. Far from it. And then secondly, listening's not of value in our society. Nowhere in school do they teach you to be a listener in the way I'm going to talk about in a minute. And so you don't hear it. There's no rewards for a listener. If anything, they empower speakers. And this is why people are jumping forward and trying to speak, if you will. Second, how do we develop listening skills? I want to situate this in our Zen practice because I think it's an integral part of our Zen practice. It's a practice that all of us can use every day in our practice. Even if you can't come and sit, you can listen in a compassionate, mindful way. And so one of the first ways is to just accept that listening is really difficult. Really listening is really hard. You get distracted. You need a lot of skills, and I'm just going to, what can I do in a few minutes before cake, etc. Talk about that. But we have a lot to learn. And as I say, that we have very skilled listening coaches here, so we're very fortunate. Second, I think, is to understand that most people really want to be heard. And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, some feeling, you know, some emotional response or whatever, some uncertainty or difficulty. And, of course, the first noble truth, if you're familiar with those in Buddhism, is the fact that suffering arises. And suffering is a strong word, but what I like is Emerson's definition. He says, every person lives a life, now I've lost it, every person lives a life of quiet desperation, I think is what he said. And even little things, you know, did I lock the kids in the car again? You know, things like this. So we all have these things. And so everybody. And to me, what's really important is that I think we're all knowledgeable enough now to realize that unexpressed feelings lead to bad things. They can lead to bad things. You know, if you don't aren't able to express yourself, one thing that happens to me is if I don't talk with people and talk things out, I get goofy ideas. You know, I think somebody doesn't like me or, you know, things like this. You know, I kind of get off kilter. And in particular, I'm not a type who gets angry a lot, but I tend to stray off into goofy ideas a lot. And so it really helps me. And if I don't speak to people, so that's another reason. And another way to develop listening skills is just to be aware of the things I've talked about. That is, be able to recognize rotten speaking habits in yourself and others. And to me, you know, when you hear them and you hear other people do them, you know, it's like a wake-up call. You know what I mean? You suddenly recognize, you never realized you did those things before. You never realized it. And then once you become aware of it, that doesn't mean you're going to stop always, but it means that you're going to become aware that this is a habit. And I'll say more about that in a minute. And then another very important starting point for developing listening skills is to accept that listening is not a matter of agreeing or disagreeing. It's a matter of understanding somebody's point of view non-judgmentally. Okay, so you're not there to agree. You know, that you're not a judge. You know, you're there as a compassionate friend to listen. And then underlying all of these ideas for me is the importance of cultivating attention. And this is where our Buddhism comes in for me. To listen, you have to be able to focus. To listen, you have to be able to listen with clarity. And this is what just sitting does for me. We call it just sitting, and it covers a lot of things. One is the development of mindfulness, which to me is the development of stability, so that I can sit there and watch my breath for, without becoming over. We always become distracted, but we learn to come back. So we develop stability in our attention, and then eventually we develop awareness. Awareness means clarity. In what we're thinking, at least we're open to it. And so developing and cultivating attention to me is one of our most basic Buddhist skills. It's one of the things we work most at. But we don't do it just to develop it. We do it to make it a part of our everyday life. And then just some others, be present. You know, I talked about looking around, looking bored, etc. You know, be present. And you can do that in a nonverbal way as well, just the way you listen to a person. Paraphrase, and paraphrasing is an important part of all of this. And what I mean by paraphrasing is, ask a question, and it takes skill to know what question to ask to make sure you heard right, because many times we don't hear right. And in fact, I'm getting older and older, and I don't hear at all. And I say that half jokingly, but it leads to, for me, a lot of miscommunication. You know, just because I'm getting hard of hearing, and our coffee group is just great. There's one woman who can hear, and the rest of us, somebody will say it's getting mighty green out. And somebody said, the Green Bay Packers did what? You know? And the discussion goes on and on. So there are many ways, many reasons you don't hear But one is if you get distracted, the words go by and you don't hear. Oftentimes, everyone has a movie, if you will, that they play in their mind about themselves and the world. And sometimes in the listening literature, they talk that way. What's the person's movie? And so as a listener, you try to get into that movie a little bit. And without understanding the movie a little bit, it's hard, again, to be clear about what you heard. And so you ask, you paraphrase, and you know you don't interrupt, you just... another key aspect of learning to listen well is to use silence as a listening skill. And many of us think that if no one's talking, something's wrong. You got to fill every second up with words. You know what I mean? And sometimes the person you're listening to is clarifying and trying to work on things and thinking about things. And you're just distracting if you're yakking away. So learn to use silence. There's nothing, no greater gift, if you will, than silence. Still another skill we can all develop is to learn to listen with all three ears. We have these two ears, of course, but the heart is known as the third ear. And so we're not just listening conceptually, if you will, but we're listening with intuition and feeling and emotion. So again, listen with all three ears, and I think that's important. Not just thoughts up here, but trying to read what the person's trying to tell you. And then just two more quickly. And one is don't assume that what the person is actually saying is what they're trying to tell you. And it takes some time. Sometimes people don't know. You know, they have this feeling. They're trying to clarify it in their mind. They're trying to express it. And by using silence and questions, etc., you're helping them to clarify maybe something that they're trying to work out, if you will. Or maybe they're embarrassed to tell you something and it takes a little bit, if you will. So just listen and listen. Watch body language, etc. And then the last, and there are many, many other ways to go about this, but the last developing skill I want to mention is practice in triads. And when I work with Ken McLeod in Los Angeles, a Tibetan teacher, he worked a lot in triads. Now, and what you do in a triad, you have one person who's the speaker, one person who's the listener, and then you have a third person who's the energy or field holder. And that third person can actually give advice if somebody gets stuck. The talker, you can make something up, you can say something about your life, and then the listener listens. And I find that triad work is people who are therapists of one kind or another, counselors, etc., are very skilled in all of this. And I might add at the very end, don't expect rewards. I mean... sometimes we expect to say, well, that's great, thanks. But don't expect rewards. This is just part of our bodhisattva. Well, number three, use those skills and how do we go about it. And I'm not going to say a lot about this except to say that learn to listen in a variety of situations, if you will. There's listening between spouses or significant others or partners, if you will. There's listening between, and that's different than listening between a parent and a kid. I remember when I grew up, one of my mother's favorite sentences was, "Look at me when I'm shouting at you." Maybe you didn't have a shouting mother, but when I was a kid, there was a wonderful book. It was a Schluck sociology book about, 10 secrets of good living or some ballpark thing. And one was the paradox of the shouting mother. The paradox was that she shouted, right? But on the other hand, you understood exactly where you stood, right? As compared to the water drip torture mother, you never knew basically where you stand. Anyway, I kind of got off a little bit thinking of my mother. but think of a talk between a professional and a client. You know, that is a priest. And somebody who wants to come and get advice about Zen, if you will, friends and siblings, or employers and employees. And in all of these cases, listen to their needs. What's their need? You know, what do they want from the conversation? What do they need from that conversation, if you will? Here is an exercise that I enjoy, it's for partners and spouses, you know, people really close like that. And that is, my wife and I walk around the lake a lot, and it takes about an hour. And so in this exercise, for 15 to 30 minutes, one person just talks about how their day went. You know, what worked, what didn't, how they felt, you know, things like this. And then the other person listens, maybe tries to clarify, and then the other person talks for 15 or 30 minutes. And I find that's really great. That when I get working and writing and things like this, my body may be there, but I, as a good partner, am not. And this happens a lot. And I bless my wife to put up with it for almost 46 years now. You know what I mean? And so I really try to make it a practice for 15 to 30 minutes a day. Listen. Okay? And that's not hard to do. Also, be alert. And this is, as I'm an anthropologist, and these are some of the things I'm familiar with, and that is, listen to cultural differences. Listen for generational differences. Listen for gender differences. And we could talk for a long time about these. But if you work with Germans and French folks, German comes in, a business person wants to start right away. You know, it's going to tell you right up front. The French person doesn't do that. They want to talk, maybe eat a little bit. You know what I mean? And then only slowly, gradually, if you get, and it's very considered very impolite, basically, to start in a conversation. And we're becoming an increasingly multicultural society, and we cannot assume, basically, that everyone approaches listening and talking in the same way, if you will. Another good way to use those skills and develop them is to listen to conversations. Yeah, and we have all kind of opportunities, maybe at tea time, you know, where you sit there and just listen for these good listening skills, listen for the rotten skills I've been talking about. And I do that a lot, particularly with my coffee group, you know, because they're a really group of rotten listeners, if you will. And then lastly, practice. Number four, and I'm going to try to be done in 5 minutes or so we can get to that cake. Listen to yourself. And to me, this is really revelatory. How many people listen to themselves, etc.? And there are a number of ways to do this. One thing I do maybe once a week is what's called labeling. And that is when I'm sitting on the cushion, as thoughts come up, I label them. What are they about? And a lot of my thoughts, I just retired, but my thoughts usually were about work and organizing and things like this. But and if you talk with everybody, you'll see that they have different patterns of thought. And basically, you have about five labels, whatever they might be appropriate to you. And as these thoughts come up, and you'll see that throughout the year and throughout the generations of your life, that those labels change, and they tell you a lot about yourself because you don't listen. You know what I mean? You don't listen. I'll say more about that in a minute. That's listening to the concepts. And then there's another way of listening, which my wife keeps telling me I'm very bad at, and that is listening to my feelings or your feelings. My work is up here, and I spend my day doing that. I tend not to say, how am I feeling? Am I grumpy? Do I feel relief? You know, we all have emotions all the time, and we have to listen to them, and we have to really tune into them. And I'm not very good at that, but it's an important way. To learn to listen to yourself. Every listening book just about has a long list of different words for different kind of emotions, because there's all kinds of little varieties and nuances, etc. And I found it helps to go through those lists a little bit to see some of the shades of different meaning. A third way to listen to yourself that I learned from Ken MacLeod, and I think is very important, is to listen to what he calls prime directives, prime directive. And these are things in any aspect of your life when you have to make a decision or act, that you're acting in a pattern that you're often not aware of. And we can do the same in listening. And so you have to watch yourself listen. Are you an interrupter? I used to be an interrupter until I really started to realize that that was a prime directive. That was one of the things I did. Other people try to be funny all the time because they want to be liked. You know what I mean? Other people change the subject when they speak. And these aren't just occasional things. These are patterns of communication that often you're unaware of, just completely unaware of. So one of the first things you can do when you work with listening skills is to learn what are your prime directives in listening. What's your pattern? Are you the person who sits back and just listens? Do you have to fill space with talk? You know what I mean? And so those are prime directives. And then lastly, as far as listening to yourself, become acquainted with the witness. And the witness is a word we don't use a lot around here. But the witness is that observer inside who watches the words, the thoughts come up, who watches the feelings in the body. And if you can watch the feelings in the body, if you can watch the words, you are not them. No, you're the witness. And there's no, for me, there's no better way actually to cut prime directives than to work with the witness. Because you're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings necessarily. There's a distance there. And if you learn to put the distance there, it really helps. Of course, if you're an advanced meditator and you're near to wake up, basically, then the witness gets in the way. And Katagiri used to say that one of the hardest things to give up at the very end is the witness, is your identification with that internal voice. But in our early stages, it's great. And then lastly, make listening an everyday meditational practice. What's meditation? You know, we think meditation's just sitting on a cushion. Thich Nhat Hanh talks about walking meditation. Or I have a little, great little book by a Canadian called Sweeping Changes, and it's all about using household activities as a form of meditation, from sweeping to whatever. Sweeping Changes, you know, it's just great. So there are all kinds of ways that we can make other things besides just sitting on a mat a meditation practice, where we practice with stability, that is mindfulness, and clarity, which is awareness. And we listen, and we always expect that we're going to wander away a little bit, just like our mind wanders on the cushion, and we just nudge ourselves back and nudge ourselves back and nudge ourselves back, if you will. Listening can be, for me, a really powerful meditation practice, one we can carry with us throughout the day and make it an everyday practice. Thich Nhat Hanh talks about a telephone goddess, just a little expression he has written on a card. And before he makes a telephone call or answers the telephone, etc., he reads it, and it just says something like, and I didn't write it down, but something like, the words I'm going to hear, the words I'm going to say, can affect people, forever and ever. Speak and listen with compassion. And he says this all the time, and we can do that as well. And then just two final things. To me, developing listening as a loving kindness, compassion practice, etc., is vital to our spiritual growth. That if we sit and we worry just about mindfulness and worrying about awareness and worrying about clarity in our own mind, etc., we're not reaching out like a bodhisattva to other people. Right? We're not reaching out. We're internal. And this is why I think things like listening, where we're listening to somebody, etc., is absolutely vital to our spiritual development. Not only that, but by not being the person who says, me too, me next, it happened to me, where you're putting your ego in there all the time, what you're learning to do is to separate out that ego and develop the egolessness that we talk about in Buddhism. And lastly, and I hope by now, even as a short view, etc., you know, really, a compassionate listening is one of the greatest gifts we can give anyone. One of the greatest gifts we can in anyone. And I think, if we're committed Buddhists, this is part of what it means, is to give gifts to other people. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. I'll try and follow guys' lead and make announcements. Sure. So we can move to the table. Oh, question.
Yeah. If you are there, questions or comments, just real quick.
Often, when a person is speaking, and you know, underlying is strong emotion. And they're just on the surface in their head level.
That's right.
It's good to sort of, you know, hey, let's cut it here, you know, in a nice way. And how are you feeling?
That's right.
And encourage them to stay with that feeling and just breathe into it. And that, then they won't need to keep repeating the story.
That's right.
Keeps coming up because it's unresolved. There's all that emotion that they haven't dealt with.
That's right. As I say, it's learning to be a real listener is very difficult. And you don't, and I could say much more, you know, like James is indicating. For example, there are times when it's time to stop your conversation for various reasons. And start again in another day, particularly if you find it difficult yourself to be centered and you're not present. And I find in cases like that, I just say, you know, let's meet again. You know, so there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. I did, and I don't want to prolong this, but I did bring along, there's a nice little Marshall Rosenblum, many of you know, has Nonviolent Communication. There's a nice little workbook. He's also got CDs. I hate to show people books, etc., because I'm a book guy. But there's a lot of wonderful literature on listening and all of the subtleties. There are all kinds of workshops that one can go to. And I think, again, it's a skill that we're not taught. We're not taught to value. And it's a skill that would serve us well, particularly for priests at the Zen Center, wherever we all are, etc., to really develop. Thank you.